Welcome to the HSP podcast. I'm Julie Bielant, and today I'm excited to bring you an episode about inner child healing with Julie Aird. And I think inner child work is such a powerful thing for HSPs to do, especially I found in my work as a psychotherapist and as an HSP myself that working on our self-love has been a journey for many of us. Many of us grew up feeling like there was something wrong with us for being sensitive. Maybe we were told we were too sensitive. Many of us felt like we had to hide who we were, hide our sensitivity. And if you've been a podcast listener for a while, you've seen that we do not do that on our podcast. We really celebrate sensitivity. We talk about the value, and we know how important it is to the world. But we talk a lot about some of the challenges, and we offer a lot of tools for some of the challenges. And I hope that this episode from our guest today is something that inspires you to work on some inner child work yourself. It's a very powerful healing tool, something I really recommend, something that's really helped me in my life. And I think you'll enjoy what Julie shares on this subject. And she also walks you through a meditation too. So I want to welcome you to this episode. If you would like to learn more about some of the other episodes, you can go to hsppodcast.com. We really love hearing from you on particular episodes, so we encourage you to go to that website to be able to comment on everything that you've, you know, just let us know how it impacted you. Did it help you in some way? Both me and our guests are really appreciative of that. We love hearing from you, and we also appreciate you sharing the podcast and reviewing the podcast. And you can do all of that at hsppodcast.com. And we look forward to hearing from you. Enjoy this episode.
Welcome everyone to this event. I am Julie Aird, and today's topic is inner child healing, a powerful tool for growing self-love. We are recording live in the Sensitive Empowerment Community, which is a positive alternative to social media for sensitive people. You can learn more and join us at sensitivecommunity.com. So a little bit more about myself. I am an ICF credentialed coach, a spiritual director, speaker, and author. And I work with highly sensitive people to know and love who they truly are so that they experience fulfillment within. Prior to being a coach, I worked for 30 years in a university setting, assisting and advising college students and graduate students on their educational goals. And 4 years ago, I left my university career to become a full-time coach working from home. But it wasn't until 2 years ago that I actually learned that I was an HSP. Learning that I'm an HSP has made who I am make sense. So many puzzle pieces have come together for me in that. And I've been on a personal and spiritual growth journey my whole life. And as I've learned about what HSPs are like, I see that I'm not the only one who is like that. I think a lot of HSPs are on that same kind of journey because we have this desire for wholeness, for truth within, and just healing from our past. And we desire to feel at peace and fulfilled within ourselves. And that comes from a deep sense of self-love and knowing our worth and value. And yet I find that HSPs, we struggle with loving ourselves. We don't always feel valuable and worthwhile. And we've been deeply affected by experiences that we've had in our life, leaving us with these false beliefs about who we are. And sometimes it's really difficult to move past those false beliefs. you know, changing our thoughts about ourselves is a really important practice. I learned that as a coach, to change your thoughts. You know, if you have false beliefs, just change those thoughts and have new positive thoughts, and that will, it'll help. And it is helpful. I'm not saying that's not an important tool, but sometimes I feel like we need to go deeper than that. I don't feel like that always is the answer. And after 30 plus years of personal and spiritual work, I've learned so many tools, been to so many trainings, and I feel like inner child work has been one of the most powerful healing practices that I have used for myself and for my clients. And so that's why I'm here today, because I feel so passionate about how impactful and powerful inner child work is. I want to be able to teach it and reach as many HSPs with this information. Inner child work, it helps us to reparent ourselves and give ourselves what our inner child needs to heal in order to feel loved, safe, and free. It allows us to lay down the stories that keep us stuck in the past and allows us to live in the present as the wise, centered, calm adult that lives inside of us, the one that's clear and confident. So here are some of the specific things that you can experience when you practice the inner child practice that I teach. You feel genuine love for yourself and know your worth and value. You accept your HSP-ness, I call it, and you feel free to be yourself instead of trying to mold into other people's expectations of you. It also assists you in setting boundaries with others, even when others have feelings about that. Inner child work frees you from the need to be productive all the time, to be achieving and performing, or even to be perfect. And it also gives you freedom from pleasing other people, which is very common with us as HSPs. So after using the tool, my clients, they tell me that they experience this sense of freedom, this sense of ease and peace and fulfillment and empowerment. And I've experienced the same. So I'm going to teach you my favorite tool today for working with our inner child. I call it the inner selves practice. Now, when I say inner selves, I don't necessarily mean that we have more than one inner child. It's all us. It just means us at different stages and ages. Lori Kangela is a psychologist that works with HSPs, and she says that we aren't fully developed adults as much as we are a collection of parts of ourselves at various ages and stages. I really agree with that statement, and that's why I feel like this tool is so effective. Because when we use it, we can actually work on a specific part of ourselves, a specific age or specific situation that had a really challenging, you know, impact, that had a major impact on us. And what we can do is give that part of ourselves from that specific time what we didn't get then, allowing that particular inner self to be soothed. And we can go back to being a child that is loved and safe. You know, many of us HSPs, we felt so crushed by experiences in our life. And we have very potent inner selves that get triggered by experiences in daily life. And when that happens, it's so invaluable to have a resource like this that will truly address and heal the original wounding that's being triggered. This tool helps us to separate from our stories, our trauma, our conditioning, or an identification with anything that keeps us separate from the truth about ourselves. The truth that we are valuable, loved, safe, and free. Let me just repeat that one more time. This tool helps us separate from our stories, our trauma, our conditioning, and any identification that we have with a part of ourselves that's keeping us separate from the truth of who we really are. So I'm going to teach you the tool today as a guided meditation. You're going to be able to use this recording whenever you want to practice the tool. And before I do that, I'm going to briefly explain to you what the tool is going to look like, how it's going to go. So you have an idea ahead of time, but just know that you don't have to take any notes right now. Okay. You're going to be guided through the entire practice. So don't worry about taking notes right now. You've got this all on the recording. Okay. What we're going to be doing is you're going to be creating a contained, beautiful space, a safe space in your heart where you're going to meet your inner selves. They will be seated in a circle, and in the center of the circle is a healing seat. You will be seated in a director's chair outside of the circle where you can see everyone in the circle. You're going to be able to create magic like a fairy godmother. When you look around the circle, you're going to see whoever is needing your attention, and then you'll invite them to come and sit in the healing seat. You'll be listening to their story with curiosity, asking them what would have made a difference then. And you can give them that now. And once they receive this from us, they can lay down that story that keeps them stuck, and they can go back to being a child. Now, there are two things that are really key in this practice. It's important that we stay separate when we observe what's going on in our heart space. If we get over-identified or involved with our inner selves as they're sharing their stories, there will be no one to listen and create a magical outcome for them. So when I first started practicing this, I found myself merging with the inner self. I think it's so common for us to empathize and be compassionate. And it doesn't mean we can't have compassion as we look at these inner selves. But if we start to feel exactly what they feel, we need to step back a little bit. Because like I said, if we are them, then we can't be the one outside of them to give them what they need. The second part of this practice that's really key is that healing will only happen if you go deep enough in your listening to find out the original need. It's usually something very foundational, like safety, love, acceptance, recognition, security. And this can be offered right here, right now, so that the healing can happen. You will be listening with love and compassion to get to the very deepest core longing, the feeling that they wish to have. So their story might have one of these themes. These are common themes that come up when we do the practice. It was a time when they weren't being heard. They didn't feel safe. They were abandoned or neglected. They were hurt physically or emotionally by someone. They didn't feel like they belonged. They were criticized for being who they were. Where they felt like they had to be overly responsible and take care of other people. So as I share that, I don't want you to start worrying about what situation you're going to use in the practice. Just let that go right now. Just trust that you will be guided in the practice to the inner self that needs your attention today. Okay, so I wanted to give you an example of this practice from my own life and how I've used it. So when I was 2, my mom was a caretaker for her mom, who was young in her 50s and dying from cancer. And I had one sister who was an infant. And we lived in the same town as my grandmother. And every day my mom would pack up myself and my sister and our dog and take us over to my grandma's house, where my mom would take care of her mom all day. My sister, being an infant, was in the bed with my grandmother. My grandmother was hurting all over, so she couldn't get up from bed, but my sister could lay in bed with her. So my sister was held all the time. My mom was caring for her mom. And I was just kind of left there to fend for myself as a two-year-old. And there wasn't really anybody to look after me. And as a result, I learned to be a very well-behaved little two-year-old. I couldn't make a fuss. My grandma was ill. And so, you know, I couldn't be, you know, making a lot of noise or causing a lot of trouble. And every day we would do this. For months we did this. My mom would pack us up in the morning. We'd be there all day and she'd take us home at night. Now, what I felt from that experience was a lot of abandonment and neglect. And because we're egocentric as children, which means that we experience everything in the world as being about us, you know, I didn't have this adult part to understand that my grandmother was dying. I was like, you know, why is no one paying attention to me? And I internalized from this experience that I wasn't valuable, that I wasn't important, that I have to make everybody happy, that I have to be good, I can't be too much, you know, all those things. And that's really difficult for a two-year-old to have to do. So in using this tool with my two-year-old and listening to her story, it's allowed me to give her what she was truly wanting, to be seen and heard. And what she truly wanted was love. That's how she was going to experience love, was to be seen and heard. And now that I've given her that love and attention that she was wanting, she is soothed. She's calm. She feels valued and loved and can go back to being a child. She doesn't have to worry anymore about anyone else. And she knows she always has a place in my heart forever. I'm never going to leave her. She's always safe in my heart. And in addition to that, when I do this tool with my two-year-old, I'm this fairy godmother presence that can provide anything that she would like. So if she wants someone to play with or someone to listen to her or give her physical affection, for example, the other inner selves in the circle, whether they be past selves or future selves, they can be part of the healing. And she knows now, again, that she's part of the group and she belongs. Once she's soothed, I can then return to being the grounded, peaceful adult that I am. She's no longer trying to get my attention and no longer the one driving my life at that moment. And the adult self is now in the driver's seat of my life. So with that, I am going to guide us in the practice now. So I'm going to invite you to take a couple slow, deep breaths and allow the chair that you're in to hold you. Lean back and allow yourself to be held with your feet on the floor. You're resting in a chair, wherever you're sitting. Just start to take some slow, deep breaths. And I'd like you to tune into your heart space as you breathe. Your heart is the energetic space for this healing practice. And it's an infinite source of unconditional love. Use your imagination to visualize a safe, beautiful space. It can be inside or outside. If it's it needs to be well boundaried on all sides. So if it's outside, it needs to be boundaried by a forest or water or rock or something like that. And if it's inside, you can make it as beautiful as you want, this safe space. Your circle of inner selves gathers here within this safe space. If there is an inner self there that's not yours, it must leave immediately. And you can create a guardian of your circle to take care of that for you and usher them out. In the middle of the circle, there is a seat. It can be as basic or elaborate as you like. This will be the intentional seat of healing and transformation. You will be seated in a director's chair outside the circle, where you can see everyone in the circle. You are able to create magic like a fairy godmother. Now, if you're needing some assistance seeing yourself that way, if you're not feeling like that loving, powerful fairy godmother presence right now, I'd like you to tune into a role in your current life where you feel wise, grounded, and confident. For me, that's when I'm coaching people. I know that I'm connected to my deepest wisdom and intuition. That is the person that you want to bring into this practice as the director. That's your adult self. And it's important that you remain separate from all these inner selves and not get over involved or identify with them. Otherwise, there will be no one to listen to create a magical outcome for them. Now, I invite you to look around your circle. See if there is an inner self seeking your attention. Ask them if they are willing to speak with you and invite them to come and sit in the healing seat. If they are hesitant to come into the seat, you can offer them someone to hold their hand, guide them to the seat. You can offer something to comfort them if they're very young, like maybe a stuffed animal or stuffed toy, or even an animal presence. Once they are in the seat, invite them to tell you how they are feeling. Ask them, how are they feeling? Ask them about their most challenging experience. Look into their eyes and listen to them with compassion, with love, curiosity. Let yourself feel how you feel when you hear what they have to say. How does it make you feel to know that they feel that and that they experience that? But don't merge with them and their feelings. If you find yourself feeling their feelings as they share, just allow yourself to take a step back and take a step back. being separate ensures that you will be able to give them what they need. It's helpful to know that your inner selves are stuck in an old reality, one that is over now. And this practice isn't about giving them what wasn't possible then. For example, a school experience with no bully, a magical parent when they had an absent parent, or a more peaceful home environment. We can't go back and change the past. But this is about discovering what they needed at the deepest level then that would have made a difference. It's a core foundational need, like love, acceptance, safety, recognition, or security. This is what you can give them now in the sanctuary of your heart. So if they're asking for something else than one of these core needs, when they ask you for that, then ask them back, you know, what would that give you if you had that? For example, what would that give you in my situation if someone had been paying attention? What would that give you if someone had been playing with you? The feeling that they're wanting is something very core and basic. They want to feel loved. They want to feel accepted. They want to feel safe. So keep asking, you know, what will that give you until you get to the core? As they receive this from you, you can sense resolution and energetic freedom. They're willing to put down the story that defined them and held them stuck and release themselves from the trauma that felt bigger than them. That's another reason for you to maintain a separateness and stay in the here and now reality. You are then a loving presence that is bigger than anything they have experienced. As you give them what they're asking for, knowing that they are always safe in your heart and that you are always going to be there to love them, to accept them for who they are, and that you're never going anywhere. They are safe now in the center of your heart, in the circle. Once you sense that shift in them, you can even confirm that with them. Their energy will be released and softened. They might even appear different. When the healing is done, they will be released. And they will be ready to take their place back in the circle. When their healing is done, they will be softened. They might even appear different. And when they're ready, they can go back to take their place in the circle. And because your inner selves are safe in your heart, you can go back and check in on them anytime you want. For now, I'm going to invite you to return back to your breath, coming back into your body, coming back to yourself, feeling the edges of your body, maybe wriggling your fingers and toes, stretching, returning back to this present moment. And as you return, I'd love to hear how that experience was for you, or if you have any questions. So I'm going to invite you, this is the time to go ahead and just take a moment to put any questions or comments in the chat. And this is where I'm going to, and I'm going to address your questions in just a moment. So I'm going to share a few more things about the tool. And while I do that, go ahead and take this time to enter any questions that you might have. How was that experience for you? What came up that you'd like assistance with? And I want to share a few more things about this tool. Today, we were under a certain time constraint. And so it might take you longer to do this practice, and that's totally fine. You will have the recording of this, so you can take your time and stop the recording at any time you want. I mean, it might take you more time to listen to your inner child to get to that core need. Or you might need to take some time to separate if you find yourself merging. And sometimes this can be an emotional practice. And so if you're having a lot of emotion, you might need to just take a little time to take a step back. So feel free to know that, you know, you can use as much time as you need for this. And it's worth checking in the next day with an inner self that you may have just integrated. You'll get to see that the healing is indeed complete, or if there is anything more to attend to. So you can always check back in and see, you know, how is that one feeling? And you might be curious, you know, well, how do I use this tool? How often do I do it? You know, how does it work? You know, and basically, I would say that anytime you feel overwhelmed or triggered by something, you can ask yourself, who is the one distressed right now? This is the practice that you want to start getting into, is when you notice yourself overwhelmed, when you notice yourself upset, you can ask yourself, who's the one that's distressed? And that's a great entry to just go into your safe space in your heart and tune in with your circle and see who is the one there that's distressed. And as you remain separate, you can provide what they need in this moment. Now, sometimes this happens to me, and I might get triggered in a situation where I'm, you know, I can't really stop right then and go into a meditative state. And that makes a lot of sense. That's going to happen, right? So if you don't have time right then to use the tool, you can let that inner self know, I hear you, I'll come back to you. And then you can go back to that inner self at a time that works. The other thing that is important to know is that as you start to use this tool, you might encounter a number of inner selves that are all expressing the same trauma or abandonment. There's certain themes that we've experienced in life that are maybe going to come up more than once, or versions of the same theme. That's totally normal. And what I like to do when I first feel triggered, when I go into my inner, you know, when I check in with my inner circle and ask, who is this? And I get a sense of the age of that inner self. I'll check if there's a younger self that is experiencing the same feeling. So, you know, you might do this tool and a teenager might come up, but then if you ask, is there a younger one that is feeling this? And then, you know, like an 8-year-old might show up, or then maybe a 4-year-old or maybe a 2-year-old. So keep asking that until you get to the youngest age. Working with the youngest version of that theme is going to provide the deepest healing. With that said, though, don't feel like you can't just use the tool with anyone that shows up. Just trust whatever, trust what happens and address the earliest version, or excuse me, address the one that comes up at that time. So whoever presents themselves, you can go with. And also just a note about getting triggered. Once we start using the tool, we might notice that we're getting triggered a lot. And it's kind of like when you have a new awareness, you start to notice it all the time. You know, you might be, oh, there's another inner self. Oh, there's another inner self. But I want to encourage you to see this as a good thing and to not, you know, feel like, oh gosh, here's another inner self. I have so much work to do. It's not that. It's more that you're strong enough now and ready for the healing. It's actually a beautiful thing. It means the next one that needs to be healed is surfacing, and you are ready now to give it the attention that it needs so it can be healed. So see it as a positive. There's also another inner self that I just want to kind of flag up that a lot of us have, and it's not so much attached to a particular age as it's more of like kind of an inner manager or inner bully or criticizer or perfectionist. Seems like we all kind of have someone like that, that pushes us. That's the one in me that tells me that I'm valuable if I'm doing, if I'm producing, achieving, performing, et cetera. And that's a common inner self to come up. So I just wanted to throw that out there. If you encounter that, usually with that one, I really just try to let it know that it's not its job. I've got it. I'm taking care of it as the adult. She can go on vacation. I send her out on a beach chair and just to let her off the hook from that responsibility. And that I find to be very soothing and calming. And then again, I'm back into my adult self. The other thing is that in your circle, there can be inner selves that are older versions of you as well, or parts of you that you haven't met yet. These can be helpful allies that can support other younger selves within the circle. One time I was working with an infant version of myself, an infant inner self, and she wanted a grandma. She didn't really have a grandma presence in her life. And I had an older self in the circle that is now holding her. And I think she's going to be holding her forever. So she gets to be held forever by a grandma presence in the circle. And it's amazing. It's amazing what you can create. So I just encourage you to make this practice your own. Let it evolve in ways that work for you. I have one client that when we use this in session, every time she actually ends up in a different safe space. So it's not the same safe space she goes to every time. And that works for her. And she's experienced a lot of healing. So like I said, the two main important things that are the two key things that are guidelines for this practice is remaining separate from the self and getting to that core need. Other than that, you know, let the practice evolve for you. Sometimes I'll be honest, I have felt like as the adult in the director's chair, I don't always feel like I can take care of that little one. And so I call on my own divine support, the divine feminine and divine masculine energies to support me, to support her. So even you as the adult can get support. So there's ways for this to evolve to make it work for you. But what I've found is that when we make this a regular practice, whenever we're distressed, it really makes it possible to have deep resolution and profound shifts. We move from feeling victimized or feeling like we're that little kid that, you know, the world just feels overwhelming to us, to really feeling empowered. And as a result, we're able to love ourselves so much more. There's so much more self-love that develops, the self-compassion. And this is going to allow you to create a life that really works for you as an HSP. Because when we have inner selves, for example, that, you know, are trying to please everyone and trying to make everybody happy, then it's difficult for us to set boundaries and, you know, say no and do things for ourselves. But when we're able to soothe those inner selves that are desiring that, and they know that they are loved as they are, then as the adult presence, we're able to be so much more wise in our choices. And we are at choice at that point. We don't feel like there's this inner self that's running our life. It's like we're back in the driver's seat of our life. So it's extremely powerful. So I am noticing here that everyone is still with me and I'm grateful. I'm going to look at, I didn't see there was anything in the chat, but I do see a couple things in the chat here. So let me address these. So Elizabeth says, this is so validating. And through reparenting work that I've been doing with other tools, I've discovered a couple ages of inner selves, but didn't know it was common since so much language used is around a singular inner child. Beautiful, Elizabeth. That's what I've found is different from this tool than other tools I've used. We really can get specific with that age and that experience. And it really provides an opportunity for that one to shift. So thank you for saying that. I just welcome any more questions that you might have as we're wrapping up here. Sharon asks, can you review the healing aspect? Are we just witnessing what that part is expressing and then watching for a shift in them? Excellent question, Sharon. Really what we are doing is we are giving them energetically what they are wanting. So if they're wanting love, we are giving that through just our energetic presence. We as that separate director's self, adult self, when we look into their eyes, we are giving them that love. And it might take some time for you to connect with them. It might take some time for them to actually feel that. So that's why I say, take your time with this. It's also possible when you first start working with your inner selves that they might be distrusting. They might be angry with you for having not paid attention to them for a long time. So you might need some time to build some trust. And that's totally understandable. That makes sense. So if they're not ready to talk to you and they're just mad, you can always let them know that you'll come back to them. And they can go back into the circle if they're not quite ready. This might be a process of working with them and creating a relationship. So I hope that's helpful. Louise said, my inner child told me she was missing loving leeway to explore and grow to be her true self. Time is what I am giving her now at this stage in my life. That is beautiful, Louise. Yes. Giving her space. She doesn't have to be all the things that she thought she had to be, you know? Elizabeth says, I've been working with my inner child for 1.5 years, and I think that relationship is why she was willing to take part today so willingly. Yes, perfect, Elizabeth. I hear you. So yes, if you've never done this kind of work before, be gentle and compassionate with yourself and with your inner selves. And that leads me to my final thought here. And it's basically an offer that I want to give you. If you have additional questions, if you'd like support with using this tool, I'm offering all of you a free 30-minute session with me to further explore this tool. You might need more space around being able to do this tool in a longer period of time. We could have 30 minutes together to do that. This is a free offering. I feel so passionate about giving this to HSPs that I want to offer that. And, you know, it's a space that you can ask questions, you can get further assistance on any part of the tool that doesn't make sense or any particular inner self that you're struggling with. I'm happy to do that. I've found this to be so helpful. Like I said, I want to share it with as many people as possible. And during that 30-minute call, if you want to explore doing further work with me, we can talk about that, but there's no obligation. So in order to find out how to book a call with me, you just need to go to my website, and that is julieaird.com. And I'm going to put that right here into the chat. julieaird.com. And on my website, there is a link or a button that says contact me. And you can just go to my website, click on the contact me button, and that will take you directly to my calendar where you can book a call with me. So I would love to connect with you. And that I think was, oh, and of course on my website, you can find out more about the work that I do if you're interested in finding out about that. So it's time for us to close. And I just want to thank you all so much for being here today. And if you'd like to join us in our nurturing and supportive community, you can find us at sensitivecommunity.com. And we look forward to connecting with you there. Thanks, everybody.